The other big story in the news today continues to be the college admissions scandal. About 35 families in that indictment out of Boston, Massachusetts. About 9 coaches who are taking the money under the table. Half a dozen administrators from that Edge company that were masterminding it all over the course of less than 10 years. They made $25 million from folks. The Mincing Rascals talked a lot about that in our podcast. You'll be able to hear that as it drops at 5 o'clock this evening. Do you subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast? It was judged the best in the city. But here's also an informed view on it from Kerry Bahar, who is the founder of KSB College Consulting. Kerry, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
What do you do?
I'm a college consultant, so I work with students and families and help them navigate the college admissions world.
Somebody else in your field of work said to me yesterday that they work with people starting in the 8th grade.
So I would say I tend to start with most students sophomore or junior year. It has absolutely gotten earlier, though, as admission deadlines have gotten earlier.
Well, and the point of this person, and when I thought about it, I thought, all right, that makes some sense, is your senior year grades don't matter that much. If you've only got 3 years of grades, junior, freshman, and sophomore years, then by the time you're in 8th grade, if you or your parents aspire to get into some REACH school, the meter starts running freshman year.
Right.
So that's really where the pressure starts. I mean, so now in 8th grade, we're telling 12-year-olds, boy, you better buckle up.
Well, I have a current 6th grader. I don't think we're having those conversations quite yet. But there is the reality that the vast majority of students are applying for college at the end of their junior year grades, right? So you do have 3 years. And so those middle school years, 6, 7, and 8, should really be used to learn proper study habits and start from day one as a freshman doing the correct thing.
How important is it to you, the grades, versus other things on the resume?
Grades are the most important thing.
They are the most important.
100%.
So while we have heard the importance of having a well-rounded background, et cetera, grades are still, and when you say grades, do you mean the ACT score or do you mean the GPA?
No, I mean what students do in the classroom. And while the GPA is one measure, and you tend to see a lot of schools report GPA, I want to de-emphasize the GPA as a number per se and have students and families really think more about the course rigor the courses are taking and the grades they earn in them. The reason for that is some high schools use plus minus systems, others don't, and just have a straight A, B, C, D, F. That affects the GPA and that the grade average.
I don't know what you just said.
So if a high school has A, B, C, D, F.
Doesn't everybody do that?
No. Many high schools have plus minuses, so there's a different grade point assigned for an A minus versus an A.
Oh, so plus minus meaning A plus, B plus, C plus, et cetera.
Or A minus, B minus. Right. So for schools that have the plus minus system, a 93 and above, for example, would be an A, where that 90 to 92.9 is an A minus. But there's a different grade point average assigned to that. The problem with these different ones is that when you look at overall GPA composites that schools give, they're not differentiating the A minus from the A.
And I got that. But then what about this? Should a student take the classes, if they're playing this game, that they're pretty sure they can get an A in, or should they take a more difficult class that they might get a B in, but it's a more difficult class?
So if a student is in honors AP IB curricula classes and are getting an A or a B, they are at the right level. Absolutely, they're at the right level. And that's where you kind of have to, yes, there's a little bit of understanding the system, but it's also a little bit of you want to challenge yourself. A student who goes all the way through high school with straight A's and has never challenged him or herself and has a 4.0, that's going to actually be a worse situation than if a student takes an AB or IB, an AP course.
Would you advise the student to be involved in as many activities as possible or just pick a few and go deep?
Students should do what they love. The idea of the high school resume and listing the activities is not to become a robot and participate in 25. I think it's always better to pick a few that you love, that you really enjoy and or are good at, if it's a sport or a talent, and really go deep into those.
So I did it completely wrong then.
Well, admissions has changed.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and you know, I've heard from more than a few listeners who say, well, just as a for instance about the ACT, when I was a kid, you would take the ACT on a Saturday morning, probably having partied Friday night. There was no prep class. You didn't take the test more than once. You showed up on Saturday and you knew it was a test you had to take. Talk about how much it's changed since then.
The ACT per se, or just... Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, the ACT is based in the Midwest in Iowa City, Iowa. There's also the SAT, of course. They're both college admissions tests. They both compete for your business, or the student's business, in terms of what to take. The most students will take either of those 3 times on average, right?
Really? 3 times. Most students who take the ACT take it 3 times?
Correct.
Okay, keep going.
So one reason for that is a lot of schools out there do what's called super scoring, meaning that across taking the ACT, for example, multiple times, if a school super scores, you can combine to get the super score from the various sections within the ACTs across the test times you've taken it. So if you've taken the ACT 3 times, and the first time you took it, you had, let's say, a 25 in reading, and the second time a 32, you can use that 32 to produce a super score.
Okay, I think that's crap. Well, I don't know, really. I guess at the end of the day, we want the best reflection of the talent and ability of the student. So if on a given day I got a 32 in the math, and then the next time I got a 26, I suppose the 32 is legit. I mean, I understand the reason to walk that across the finish line, but then do it again and take your best English score from another time. That's what you're telling me they can do. But again, that was a luxury I was not afforded,
right.
And it just does seem to favor the kids with more resources.
Well, so if you're going to say it's unethical and is unfair, this is why many schools have gone test score optional. The idea of letting students take it multiple times, of using the super scores, is favoring the idea that there's time to prepare, and that ultimately what matters is what a student is doing in high school in the classroom day in, day out, than on one given Saturday morning.
What on the extracurricular part of a resume pops to you the most? I told you this off the air. I'll say it to our audience. I think if my kids said I was the editor of the student newspaper, that would demonstrate the highest level of academic and social achievement. That's just my bias. My kids weren't that. I wasn't that. But I always thought, boy, that looked like a lot of work, kid. Mm-hmm. If you did that, you really demonstrated something. What's your thought?
It does, absolutely. If it's what a student loves to do. So you can take any activity that a student loves and figure out how to deepen that involvement, how to gain leadership experience in that. Chances are there isn't any one activity that an admissions committee hasn't seen, right? I mean, so there are every year to any school, there's a whole lot of high school editors of newspapers applying. There's a whole lot of captains of varsity teams applying. There's a whole lot of individuals doing math team or chess team applying. So it's not the activity, it's what you do with it. Can you deepen your involvement? Can you become a leader in it? How many hours are you spending at it? Or did you just join in August before your senior year to be able to have something on your resume?
Do they see that?
Absolutely. You list
they see padding stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if I was junior year prom committee or something, and it just popped up and then disappeared, that's not so impressive, even though it takes up more ink on my thing. Look at all that stuff I got there.
Right.
I always thought, I mean, trust me, on the yearbook pages where we had it filled with all of these activities, and you look back with some pride at all you did, you're telling me the college admissions committee would go, you didn't do anything especially well.
Right. If you have just, a random listing of things and are listing them ethically and correctly, right?
Yeah.
And saying, I really was only involved in this for 3-4 months, correct.
Has anybody asked you to do anything unethical as a college admissions advisor?
Yes.
What?
I've had families, parents, I should say, specifically ask me if I would write their students' essays. And obviously I say, no, thank you, and the relationship is terminated.
Do they say that quite literally, or do they wink at you? Is it
said? No, it's straight up.
Would you write the essay? How much to write a check? So then when you heard about Stanford, answer this question in a minute. Pardon me, Stanford was one of the schools. But when you heard about this admission scandal, what did you first think? Carrie Bahar is the founder of KSB College Consulting. She's in Evanston. Last words now from Carrie Bahar, the founder of KSB College Consulting, on the college admissions fraud stories. So were you surprised to see this go down?
I was saddened and shocked with the depth and the number of individuals and institutions that make up the college admissions world that were involved. From the high schools to the colleges to parents to students to coaches, everybody was involved somehow. And that made me very sad and shocked.
It's funny, the weak link might have been the underpaid minor sport coaches who would take money under the table. The football coach doesn't need it.
Right.
But the other ones, I don't know what they're making. Look, there's no justification for it, but if you wondered how could it go wrong. And by the way, it wasn't even those people ratting the system out. It was a financial advisor who approached one of the coaches wanting to get his daughter on one of the teams. And the coach said, well, if you give me enough money, we'll get her on the team and she'll get into the school.
Yeah.
He was actually being investigated for something else. And then he told the feds who were looking at him for a crime unrelated to this. He said, well, if you go easy on me on the securities fraud, I'll give you this coach over here. And that was the first domino.
Right.
Patty is on WGN. Patty, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I've got two girls. We're a family by adoption. Both are Chinese. My younger one, 16, is a sophomore at Lane Tech. Since she's been a freshman, she's taken honors classes and AP classes. She's been on the varsity swim team now.
Patty, I'm short of time. What is the point of your call? I'm happy you called, but what are you saying?
Okay. She's been told that she's got a lower chance of getting into the really good schools now because she's Asian. That the schools are not looking, or they're looking at ethnicity, and because she's Asian, they're starting to not look at her as best as anybody else.
What do you think about that?
I think that's false. And I'm not sure where you're getting that advice from, so I can't comment specifically on the source, but I would tell you that there's always room for very good students regardless of background.
You don't think race is a mitigating factor?
I don't think it's a negative factor.
No, being Asian is not a negative factor. Presumably on an application, that's a minority, although I think I know what a lot of us are thinking. All the smart Asian kids go to all the elite Asian East Coast schools.
Well, that's actually not completely true. I think that there's room in the system, and certainly if you break down admissions numbers, any race, any background. And so I would encourage your daughters not to get discouraged.
Patty, good luck. Carrie, thanks for coming in. Carrie Bahar is the founder of KSB College Consulting in Evanston. I suppose we'll call on you again. This has been interesting, and I don't suppose we've heard the last of this story.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.